I know you're having a good time visiting, but I want to introduce King Challenge to you and lift them up as they minister to us the things that God's done in their lives.
Good morning. My name is Kristen, and first I would like to thank y'all for inviting us to share in song and testimony at the beautiful church this morning. And most everyone has heard of Teen Challenge and how we were started in 1958 by the late Pastor David Wilkerson. He authored the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. This book tells how God divinely led Wilkerson to start Teen Challenge, and out of that, one act of obedience, over 1,000 centers are currently open worldwide. Teen Challenge centers across the U.S. help men, women, and teens overcome addictions through the word and power of God. Our mission statement is to disciple people with life-controlling problems to the point where they become functioning, contributing Christians in today's society. Life-controlling problems are often much deeper than just addiction. It's a heart issue. Teen Challenge has an 86% success rate up to 5 years after you graduate the program, and a 67% up to 20 years after graduation. We are a one-step program, and that one step is Jesus Christ. Our particular center was started in 2010 by Pastor Dave and Ms. Kim Flanagan. We take in ladies ages 18 to 65 that struggle with any life-controlling issues such as abuse, addiction, eating disorder, or depression. We are a minimum of 13-month residential program. And we are going to share in song and testimony today. And keep in mind that though we may not have the voices of American Idol stars, we have something so much better. We have the voices of true victory. And at this time, our ladies are going to introduce themselves and share with you the scripture that they stand on. And I'll start. My name is Christian. I'm 26 years old. I am from Bay, Arkansas. I've been in the program for almost 8 months. And the scripture I stand on is Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength.
I'm Sydney. I'm 21 years old. I'm from Clay Center, Kansas. I've been in the program a little over a month now, and my stand-on is Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell him what you need, and thank him for all he has done.
My name is Alicia. I'm 20 years old. I'm from Stillville, Missouri. I've been in the program a little over a month also. My stand-on scripture is Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper.
My name is Teresa. I'm 34. I've been in the program 3 months. And I'm from Oakville, Iowa, and I stand on 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he gives me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind.
Hi, my name is Ryan. I'm 37. I'm from Fort Smith, Arkansas. I've been here 2 months yesterday. My center of scripture is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And for my people who are called by my name, I humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land.
Hey y'all, my name is Robin. I'm 22 years old from Jefferson City, Missouri. I've been in the program for 7 months now, and the scripture I stand on is Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord in everything you do, and he will establish your plans.
Hi, my name is Carson Kinnett. I'm 18, and I've been in the program for a month, and my stand on scripture is Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation to those who use Christ.
And at this time, Teresa is going to share a little bit of her testimony with y'all.
Hi, my name is Teresa. I'm 34, and I'm from Iowa. And when I was growing up, I lived in a very violent, sexually abusive, and physically abusive home. I started drinking alcohol during that time, very young age. And my mom knew what was going on, and I think that's what kind of hurt me deep inside more than what was going on. And out of that abuse, I had 2 children at a very young age, and I did finish high school. The librarian, we went to a small school, and she watched my children just so I could graduate high school. And so I did,
And then I was also, at the same time, I was a ward of the state because of what was going on. And I lost my children, and I gave them to their grandparents to raise them because I was too young and I was in drinking too much, and I wasn't a very good mother. And later on, I had a third child, and I lost him. They terminated my rights on him because I abused him and treated him the way that I was treated growing up. And I went into the drink, got into the drinking more and other substances. During that time, also, my brother died in a house fire. And on top of that, things just got worse for me. And I started drinking more and went into the criminal world and started doing those things. And then after a while, I got tired of that and thought I'd start doing the family life. So I had two more children. And I did the family life for a couple of years. I did that pretty well. And then I couldn't do that anymore either. So I failed the college that I started doing. I started college. I failed that. I failed being a mom. I couldn't do that. And so my mom took my youngest two boys, and they lived with my mom. And I started going in and out of jails and so much that that's what I was just used to it. And I was hurt inside. I didn't care about other people. I was hurting other people and ended up in jail for assault. And it went from assaults to very serious injuries that I was doing to people. And while I was sitting in jail one day, I went to Bible study. We had a lady that ministered from a church. And she came in and asked me what I was going to do differently, and she, and I told her I was probably going to go out and do the same thing. So I did. As soon as I got out of jail, I went out, and I ended up hurting somebody way, way worse, and I ended up back in jail, and there was the same Bible study lady in there. And, I had gotten transferred from that jail to another jail that's 4 hours away because I had sold to the CO, and, she had written me a card, and, and I had written her back because my mom had died in April, and she died while I was sitting in jail. And so I wrote my Bible study lady, and I told her that I needed somebody in my life, and I told her I wanted to change. And so she went 4 hours out of her way to come visit me in jail and told me that she was going to try to do something different for me. And so she had written the judge a letter, and this was the same judge that had seen me since I was 13 years old. And so while I was sitting in court that day, he said, since I got a lady that's writing me letters about teen challenge, and in order to keep you safe and the public safe, I think that I'm going to give you a chance and let you try this. So he sent me here to teen challenge, and this lady paid for everything for me to be in teen challenge. She's like my earthen mom. When I call her, on my we get weekly phone calls, and she's the person that I call. I write to her. She's coming to visit me on the visiting days that we have once a month. And God has given me her. If it wasn't for her, I would be still sitting in the jail cell or out doing the same things and hurting people. And God has done a lot for me since I've been in the I've only been in the program 3 months, but He showed me how to care for myself again. And He's forgiven me. Well, I did have the opportunity to tell my mother that I forgave her while she was still alive, and I do. I love my mom very much. And God has done that. He's shown me how to forgive others, and I'm still working on forgiving myself for things, but, and God has also opened doors. I have a son that will be 16 in November 19th, and he has reached out and wanted me to contact him, and so I did, and I got a phone call with him, and it went wonderful. He wants me to be in his life. And He loves me, and He forgives me. And that's just one door that God's opened, and I look forward to seeing how much other things that God is going to do for me in my life. And thank you for letting me share.
Okay, and we're going to sing our first song.
me broken so I can be healed. Cause I'm so tired, now I can't feel. I want to run to you with heart wide open. Make me broken. Make me empty so I can be filled. I'm still holding on to my will.
This time, a couple of our ladies are going to hand out prayer cards. Okay, and each and every single day at 11:30, we stop what we're doing in our busy schedules and we get in what we call our corporate prayer time. And during this time of prayer, we are not praying for ourselves, we are lifting up your needs. We believe in the power of prayer because we know that you cannot have a relationship with someone that you do not communicate with. And some of the ladies in our program will once the name on the prayer card. So please write down your personal needs and then, or the name of someone that needs Teen Challenge in our program or has a lost family member or anyone that you just want to pray for. And when you finish filling out the prayer cards, if you just hold them up, the ladies will come by and get them. Okay, and if you don't get a chance to hand it to the ladies now, you can give it to one of the ladies at the craft table or myself afterwards. Okay, and I would like to share with you a scripture that we have prayed for that would best fit the season that we are all in our lives right now. And it's found in 1 Peter 2, 9-10. That you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And also in Revelation 12:11, states we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And each and every single one of us has a unique testimony. And it tells the world of God's amazing grace and mercy. And at this time, I would like to share a little bit of my testimony with y'all. And I grew up in a very Christian home, and I was raised by my father and my stepmother, and we were very involved in our church for as long as I can remember. And I stayed involved in the youth group, and I started about the age of 15 to worry a little bit too much about my social life and my friends and what they were doing, and pulled away from the church a little bit, and soon started to experience what I now know was depression. At that age, I wasn't really sure what it was, didn't know what the feelings were, so of course I kept them to myself and didn't really express it to anyone. So I went all through high school, just burying it as deep as I could, keeping a smile on my face. I graduated a year early from school and ended up getting married right out of high school. And we were married for 2 years, and we had our first little boy, and then soon after had our second little boy. And still to this day, those two little boys were the best thing God could have ever given me, the best blessing, even when I didn't deserve it. They were the best thing I've ever had, and I'm so grateful every day for them. And I continued to just live with the depression and not really express it. I tried to hide it from everyone until after I had my youngest son, and on top of that started to experience postpartum depression, and it got a little bit out of control at that point. It became noticeable by my family and by my husband, and I soon ended up injuring my knee and having a knee surgery. And the pain medication that I was put on after my surgery, I thought was my problem solver. And it soon became an addiction and a problem that got out of control very quickly. And I kept it under wraps for a good 6 years before my family started to really point it out and notice a change in me and my complete personality. I had so much guilt that I started to become angry and bitter and mean. Just really, my mom used to tell me I was like a stone. And that was not me. I was always very happy and bubbly and loud. And they were not used to the new person. And they constantly brought it up. And, of course, I denied until it got out of control. And, of course, as it always does, it led to worse substances. And I ended up getting in some trouble. And a couple of times my parents would get me out of trouble, or it would just disappear. And until the last time I got myself in trouble, and I called my dad from jail, and he just said, "I don't know what to tell you," and he was done. That was all he had to say to me that day, and that was when I realized how bad it had gotten, that my dad, who was always my number one fan and always my biggest supporter, was done. He had gave up. He didn't talk to me for a while I sat in jail until he called me and told me that the only way he was going to help me or to allow me to continue to be around my own children was if I went to Teen Challenge. My family is very familiar with Teen Challenge. I actually have a little sister fixing to graduate Teen Challenge in Arkansas, and my dad had already seen what it could do to change someone's life, to give their life back to the Lord, and it was the only way that he had any hope left. So I agreed, and my first couple of months in Teen Challenge, I really was not trying.
I did the bare minimal. I wasn't submitting anything, and I still walked around angry and refused to speak to people until I ended up getting shingles and had to go home for 10 days. And when I went home for that 10 days, it opened up my eyes a lot, and I realized very quickly that I wouldn't have been spending those 10 days with my family and with my children in the state of mind that I was, and sober, if it wasn't for the Lord. And when I got back, everything changed. It's hard some days, and I have to remember every single day to lay it at the cross. Not just when I want to, and I have to remember to thank Him every day, even when it's good, to remember to thank Him. Not just that when it's bad, and that was a big lesson I had to learn. And since giving the Lord back my life and changing everything, I have my joy back, and I really don't remember how it feels to be depressed anymore. That's my number one thing, is I don't remember how bad it feels. I just enjoy every day, no matter what is thrown my way. My boys are so close to me. They have just pulled so close to me, and the Lord consistently shows me He's restoring my family to me, and I'm grateful. And I'm not sure what my future will hold, but whatever it is, I'm excited, and I know that the Lord will have the best plan He could for me. And I thank y'all for letting me share. And at this time, Ms. Robin's going to share her testimony.
Hi. I got home here because a lot of my church I grew up in. My dad was a preacher. For 15 years of my life, I grew up in a very loving Christian home. Anytime I had opportunity to go to camp, Bible camp, BBS, anything, I was always there. And at age 15, though, my parents got divorced, and my dad completely left out of my life. And I felt abandoned, and I didn't understand why something like that would happen. It just seemed so perfect from what I saw growing up. And shortly after, I had my virginity taken from me from a police officer, and that case was dismissed. So instead of me facing my problems, I ran to my problems. And I moved out at age 17. I had 2 jobs. Went to college. I stopped going to church because I just thought, you know, why would the Lord want all this to happen to me? I didn't understand. I, shortly after, was introduced to the worst kind of drugs and worst kind of ways. I began being an IV user for methamphetamine. And it completely took over my life. I lost control of everything. I lost my place that I had. I lost my car. I stopped going to college because of my addiction. And I started ending up in situations that nobody should have ever been put into because of their addiction. I lied. I stole. I cheated. I did whatever it took. I gained no more addiction. And before I came to this program, I was in a situation with whole process for 6 months. And the last thing I remember my mom telling me, "So you need to start planning your funeral. You're going to die." And she was right. And I was so numb to all my feelings. I tried covering up everything and just filling that void with just men and substances. And shortly after, I was arrested. And I was sitting in jail with 2 felons and 2 misdemeanors, looking about 7 years of prison time. And by the grace of God, my mom showed up at that court date. And she wrote a letter to the judge saying, "This is not my daughter. This is not who she is." And the judge at the court there came up there and he said that, you know, he wanted to see something different. He didn't think this was me at all. This was the situation I was in. And so I've never been in trouble. I've never ever been arrested or anything. So it's just really crazy. And he offered 7 years of prison time or teen challenge. And I said, "Teen challenge, fine, I'll go for it." And I remember walking teen challenge, and I made a goal list whenever I first got there. And the first one on there was to graduate from teen challenge early and to live a sober life. And obviously, I did not know it was going to happen at all. But I walked into teen challenge, and the Lord has helped me understand that as a preacher's kid, I knew the do's and do nots. I didn't understand that real influence with the Lord. I got baptized for the wrong reasons. I just did it to do. And so the Lord has really just brought me up into this position where I've found that intimate relationship with the Lord. I've been rebaptized being in this program, and He's helping me to learn to trust in Him, You know, being a teen challenge is still, this is real life. You know, you haven't stopped living your life. And I've had to be places and situations that are really hard. And he's helping me to deal with these in a sober mind, feel the trust and have faith in them, and faith in him, and to exercise that faith. Because if I'm submitting everything to him, I know that he's going to get me through it. And that's why the scripture I stand on, Proverbs 16:3, if you commit to the Lord with all your heart, he will establish your plans. And that's what he's doing with my life. And I know that if I completely submit everything to him, I have nothing to fear, that what the enemy has stolen from me, the Lord's going to replenish 10 times more. He's actually restored my relationship with my family, my sister, because my addiction, I lost contact with her, and I'm finally doing that back to my nephews. And it's really awesome just what he's doing, and I'm glad healing. And I've really been praying a lot about my dad. He has lost his way with the Lord, but in Acts 16:31, it says, if you are saved, you and your house will be saved. So I know that the Lord's going to restore that back to my dad, and I thank the Lord and you share.
Okay, and we're going to sing our second song. Thank you. our center is completely faith-based and receives no state government funding. And we also do not charge our ladies a monthly fee. So how we do this is we have a thrift store and a box truck as part of our ladies' weekly work detail. And here they learn teamwork and management skills. We accept donations and clothing as well, and also furniture, bedroom sets, any kind of anything you can think of. And our box truck also goes around weekly, and we come and pick up any kind of leftover items from a garage sale or a business or anything like that. We also have flyers for our thrift store at our craft table. And if y'all have any questions about it, let us know as well. And it's also another way to stay connected with the ministry. And another aspect of the students' work detail is our back-to-life call room. And here the ladies call and pray with people and also offer them an opportunity to sow into the ministry. And it helps develop office and communication skills, but most importantly, helps the students develop a strong prayer life as they see God work in mighty ways in these people's lives that we pray for. And if you would like any more information, we also have flyers on that as well that they can give you back at the craft table. And we also do fundraising. Many of y'all have probably seen us fundraising. And this is our mission field. Our staff and students are honored to be able to serve the Lord in this way. When we are out fundraising, it's not just fundraising. We are being a light in the lost, for the broken, and in the darkness. We are sharing the gospel with hurting people, and we are strengthened as we learn humility, endurance, perseverance, faith, and patience. It by no means is easy standing out to hunt for 10-plus hours 3 days a week, and that this is where God purifies and refines our character, and character defects into character qualities. We have a table set up back there with a lot of information and items if you would like to look at them. And it's very similar to what it looks like at one of our fundraisers. And among these items are woodwork. And these are our favorite pieces. And it's because it tells a story very similar to our own. This wood starts out as one solid sheet. It's kind of ugly. It's dusty and not really functional. This resembles us before we come into the program. Ugly, dirty, and tossed aside by society. But you see, Jesus is the ultimate carpenter. He sees a pile of wood and says, I can use this piece for my kingdom work and my glory. So he begins to cut us into a beautiful shape. He sends us down all the rough edges. He covers us with his precious blood. And then he sprays a lacquer on us so that not only are we protected from the elements, but then we have become a trophy of grace and mercy. So we always encourage you to come look at our crafts, and this one is actually not for sale. Thank you, the pastor, for letting us come out and share with y'all. And we pray that above all, our God was rightly glorified today. We thank y'all for allowing us to come, for allowing us to share a little bit of our lives with you. Thank y'all.